We all know the big game can get pretty unpredictable, which is why you need a connection that is anything but to watch it. With the Xfinity 10G network, you get the reliable connection you need to stream your favorite sports, from football to football, everything in between. Catch it all on the network made for streaming. Treat yourself to front row seats to all the games and get way more into all the sports you're into when you stream on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
Welcome to the Cane Collects Podcast. This is the very first episode, the premier episode. I'm your host, Kang Nguyen. For those that don't know, my full-time gig is I'm the producer of the Carson Anderson Show, heard on 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, middays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So if you listen to the show, you know that I have a love and a passion for collectibles, whether it's sports trading cards, shoes, sports memorabilia, Funko Pops, whatever it is, even if I don't collect it, I love hearing about it and I love learning about it. And that's what kind of this podcast is going to be about. It's just going to be talking about collectibles. I'm not an expert by any means. I'm just a straight collector. Have I sold things on eBay or, have I set up at a show before in my life? Yes, I have. But honestly, it's just so I can reinvest or recollect, more things that I like to buy for my personal collection. You're going to hear about this a lot or throughout my podcast and things like that, but you'll know that if you follow me on any of my social medias, I personally collect, I PC Michael Jordan basketball cards. I will buy baseball cards as well of Michael Jordan, but mostly I like to collect Michael Jordan cards. I buy other sports. I buy vintage, modern, ultra modern. So I'm into all of it. I wouldn't consider myself a sneakerhead by any means, but I love shoes. I buy plenty of shoes. I've resold shoes that sometimes, like I said, I'm not a flipper or investor, but sometimes the price is too good not to sell something. And basically, I just take that money and just, buy more Michael Jordan stuff for my personal collection. That's what I like to do. It's not something I'm doing for money. It's just, my free time. It's something I enjoy to do. I love it because it's kind of like my happy place. I get to get away, I have two young children, I'm married, full-time gig, so it's hard to find time to relax. And when I get to sit down and just kind of look through my cards or open a pack of cards, it's just a moment to get away from things and enjoy, some time away from the family and the hectic life. And just life gets in the way of a lot of things. Of course, I've been passionate about sports my whole life, but I was also passionate about cards since I was a little kid. My parents didn't have a ton of money growing up, so when I grew up in the 90s, and it was a junk wax era, and cards weren't expensive. Now, I wasn't getting boxes or anything like that, but I was definitely able to afford a pack or two, when I was younger, and the thrill of opening a pack and maybe finding, for me, a Michael Jordan card, for anybody else, whatever card or player their favorite player was, there's something about that. It takes you, and when you do it as an adult, it takes you back to a time, a carefree time, when you didn't have all the responsibilities of like having a family, a full-time job and kids and things like that. So, and that's why I kind of decided to start this podcast. I wanted to, it's another way for me to kind of relax and step away from talking hardcore sports every single day. I started collecting when I was young, like I said. I can remember to this day. I got handed, some 1989, 1990 hoops packs from some friends or family members. And since I was already into sports, it was an easy, transition for me to, read stats on the back, to look at the pictures in the front. That was just really cool to me. But what really started it for me and what jarred something loose, Tiger, as they say, was in 1990, Skybox came out. Skybox basketball cards. And for those that don't know this, you might want to Google it. I don't know how old you are listening, but those were the ones with kind of the copper, gold, metallic type. Not metallic, but gold, copper borders. And in the front of the card was a player and maybe a defender. But the background was almost like it was a computer generated or just something that wasn't, wasn't natural, like laser beams or whatever. Because up to that point, the only basketball cards or baseball cards or football cards that I had seen were basically photos. you know, game action photos where a guy would be dribbling or shooting or running a football or hitting a baseball, and then you could see the crowd in the background and, you know, the grass or the court, the sky, the lights. But Skybox came out, and they didn't have any of that in the background. It was just kind of focused on the player, and I just thought the graphics were really cool. And from that point forward, I kind of just started my Jordan PC. I love that Jordan card. I have probably 30-plus raw Jordan cards of that Skybox alone. I pack pulled a lot of them when I was a kid, and to this day, as an adult, if I see a decent-looking one for a really cheap price, because they're not expensive... It was the Junk Wax era. They printed a ton of them. I'll still pick one up. Like I said, it's not an expensive card. It's not a rare card. I think a PSA 10 Gem Mint are going from anywhere from $150 to $170. So, and that's in a perfect condition, slabbed up. But raw, you could probably buy for $2 to $3 to $4 or $5. And I love that card. I love that card to this day. And I can just sit and go through those cards and just kind of feel like, you know, like in my happy place, like I said. When I was younger, me and a buddy of mine in the neighborhood, we would ride our bikes. I was fortunate enough to live by a card shop, so we'd ride our bikes up to a strip mall plaza, like right basically outside the sub. Didn't even have to cross a main road or anything like that. In that strip plaza was a Tubby submarine shop. We'd go get like a little sub with our money for the week, our lines, and we'd have always some money left over, go right next door to the local card shop and buy a pack of cards or two. And that was... probably the best Saturday afternoon you could ask for as a young Kang right there. And nowadays, I feel like when you have a real job, you grow up and you have more disposable income, you can buy the cards that you never get to pack pull as a kid. Because I got to tell you, I had terrible, terrible pack luck as a kid. I would, of course, pull occasional Jordans and some inserts, but nothing crazy big, nothing really too expensive. And then now looking back at it, a lot of the stuff was not really worth anything. It was the 90s junk wax era, and where they overprinted and overproduced a ton of stuff. So at the time, you didn't know that, but you thought, okay, well, I'm just going to keep all these cards. I'm going to put them in a shoebox, throw them underneath my bed, and in 20 years, I'm going to be a millionaire. Or in 20 years or whatever it is, I'll be able to pay off my student loans, pay for college, things like that. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case because they did produce so many cards back then. And that's why they're probably affordable as well. But there were, you know, and if you follow the 90s and things like that, there are definitely a lot of cards that are worth a lot of money now, the more rare cards. And we'll get to that more in future episodes. But as far as it was concerned for me, I did not pull any of those rare grail cards or anything like that. Although I did have some nice cards, nothing crazy. But fast forward, like I said, to moving up as an adult, you have some disposable income, and then you can buy those cards that you never got when you were younger, never were able to pack pull. Because as a kid, a $50 card might as well have been a $1 million card. It might as well have been a Honus Wagner or Mickey Mantle, because I wasn't affording that. I was lucky to go into a card shop with like $10. If I had $20, it might as well have been Christmas. So to be able to get a pack of cards for so cheap back then, you know, I don't take that for granted, because prices, especially post-pandemic, have gone up a lot. Now they seem to be tabling off a little now, but still more than I think maybe, your average kid would spend. You know, I mostly see adults out there. And I go to card shows probably once a week, once every other week. And we're lucky here in Michigan. We have card shows almost on a weekly basis. Now, it depends how far you want to drive, of course, but there's going to be a card show going on somewhere almost every weekend. Google it, look it up on Facebook. There could be a card show going on downriver. There could be a card show going on Royal Oak. There could be a card show going in Flint. There's a great big Lansing show that happens once every couple months, I think now, or once a month. West Side of Michigan has card shows. So you just got to look and you'll find there's card shows all the time around here. We're very lucky. And on top of that, speaking as a kid, when I used to go to my local card shop, I didn't really look for other card shops. And now as an adult, I do. We have a lot of local card shops, and there's a lot of new local card shops opening up because so many people, maybe my age or around my age, that have been like relit that fire of collecting and want to make it maybe their job and career, if not just at least, you know, maybe a side gig. But I see a lot of that happening. And so I drive through and I'll there'll be card shops I didn't even know existed. Maybe I wasn't looking hard enough. Maybe they're too hidden. But you probably have a local card shop by you. You just got to find it if you live here in Michigan. Because I've gone to other states. And, you know, when I have some free time, try to look up a card shop. And we're not, they're not as fortunate as many other states. It, sometimes you got to drive quite a ways to find a local card shop. Because other than that, then, that, you know, that's where you get your hobby boxes and buy singles and things like that, even supplies. Because maybe, other than that, then you have a, you got to go to your Walmart, your Target, Meijer, or whatever, you know. I know a lot of retail places started picking up on cards because it became so, so popular. I mean, Dollar Trees, gas stations, some grocery stores. But yeah, but nothing beats a local card shop because that's where you can really, you know, that's where collectors go. And I, that's what I consider myself. I'm not an expert. I don't, you know everything, but I'm going to interview experts. And that's what I'm going to do on this podcast. I'm going to interview almost definitely on a weekly basis. I'll put out a podcast once or twice a week, maybe three times, depending on what's going on. But I'm going to interview experts in the hobby industry, whether it's about sports trading cards, whether it's about sports memorabilia, whether it's about collecting toys, coins, Funko Pops. Like I said, if you can collect it, I'm going to try to talk about it. If you want me to interview a guest, a certain guest, if you want me to talk about a certain topic, please let me know. Email me at khangcollects@gmail.com. That's K-H-A-N-G collects@gmail.com. I will try to answer or try to get to as many guests as I can that you want me to interview. I'm going to interview hobby heavyweights, auction house people, local card shop owners, collectors, investors. I'll try to get as many topics as I can that you want me to get to. I'll do maybe a mailbag one day where I just kind of go through questions that you guys have and get, you know, kind of quick hit a bunch of topics and things like that. If you're into investing, I have no issue with investors. It's part of the hobby now. If you want to try to, you know, make some money, flip some cards and things like that, or who to, what prospects to buy into, what prospects to sell out of, we will talk about all that. This is for the, you know, like I said, it's the collectibles podcast. So I really hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to have my next podcast. I'm going to have a big heavyweight, hobby heavyweight, an industry guy that, you know, started out as a collector just like I did, but made it a career and is making a great career out of it. And it's, he was doing something he loves. And he, it's not just sports trading cards. He collects video games, autographs, things like that. So I can't wait to have him on the next podcast. But he is he's very knowledgeable in a lot of things in the collecting industry. So well, that's going to be a fun one. But like I said, you guys can determine where the show goes and what you want me to talk about and who to talk to. If you like the show, if you like the podcast, please subscribe. Tell a friend. Tell a family member. It helps out a lot. Subscribe. You can download Kang Collects. That's K-H-A-N-G Collects podcast on Odyssey or anywhere you get your podcasts. Hopefully you guys enjoy, and hopefully, you know, I can do more of these. It's nice to get away sometimes from just, you know, talking to sports that I do every single day. And this is still sports related. A lot of it is, you know, I mean, I'm going to be talking, I don't know a ton about Pokemon, but I'm going to get some Pokemon experts on here. And if you enjoy that kind of stuff, I'd love learning about that stuff too. So I'll have an episode on that. I'll have an episode on collecting guitars or, you know, video games, like I mentioned earlier, pinball machines, whatever. I just love that whole world of collecting. And I hope that if anything, it's entertaining. And also, it helps, you know, helps us learn more about other, you know, what other people collect and what they enjoy. Records is another thing. I have a couple of people in the record and music industry that I'm going to talk to about what records are worth money. Is there a market for that kind of industry where you can collect, you know, things of that nature? I want to make sure to touch on pretty much everything I can touch on, and you're not going to be able to do that all in one episode. That's why I'm just going to keep, you know, you can go back and look at previous episodes and topics that you might want to hear about and listen on those. I mean, there's so much going on with modern collecting right now with Fanatics and Panini and, you know, who's going to be making cards in the future, who can make cards right now. So there's so much to talk about, but in the end, I'm a collector at heart. As I said earlier, I started collecting when I was a kid, and got into it so much so that me and a couple buddies actually decided to try and sell some of our cards. So what we did was I looked it up, and I can't believe I actually did this till this day. I took the initiative and looked it up and found out when the sports trading card show was going to be at Gibraltar in Mount Clemens. And they used to have one, I forget if it was once a month or once every couple months, but you know, there was a weekend where they would have a show where just selling sports trading cards. And so me and two other buddies, we gathered up all our cards. We had rented out a table or bought a table and went up there for the weekend and tried to sell our cards. And we priced everything off of Beckett, because that's what you did back then. You just used Beckett. You know, I don't think people were using eBay and other things like that for comps really then. And it was just Beckett. And that's what we priced off. And we probably barely made any money. Made money probably enough just to pay for our table, maybe get a slice of pizza and a pop. But it was a great time. And you know what? It was just all about having fun and collecting. And that's what I miss, is just the fun aspect of it. And I love chasing cards that you thought you could never get. I love buying cards, whether it's really low end to high end. I just like filling in the gaps and the holes of cards I don't have. I think some of these cards artistically look great, especially the 90s. I'm a 90s collector. That's where my heart is, but I have nothing against, you know, I enjoy vintage because of just how, to me, that stuff is like, should be in museums. It's like, you know, artifacts. And then the ultra modern stuff, it's always great to see the next, you know, great young players in their sport come up, and you can chase autographs and parallels and things like that. So there's just so much to talk about, and hopefully we can, you know, enjoy this ride together again. It's new for some people, or other people are getting back into it, and other people have been there the whole time. So I can't wait to talk more about it and share with you guys on this podcast. Until the next time, keep collecting. ¶¶